south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, let me start out by saying this show is supposed to go out on Friday, October 30th, which means everyone interested in signing up for my January 2016 Latin Insider Seminar, you've got 2 days to sign up before the early bird pricing expires. So on November 1st, 2 days from now, the seminar will revert to normal pricing, which is $500 per person more than the early bird discount. So get on it. You've got 2 days left to sign up. And do remember, the price includes 6 nights at our 3- and 4-star hotels, all breakfasts included too. So you can pay for the seminar all in one lump through PayPal, your credit card, or a direct bank wire to our seminar account. You could choose the 3-payment plan too, which allows you to pay for the seminar over a 3-month period, 3 separate payments. Now, people have asked if they sign up for the 3-payment plan, do they still get the early bird discount? Well, yes, you just have to sign up for the seminar and send that first payment by November 1st, 2 days from now. Oh, and here's something important for all of you who've signed up already and those of you who are going to sign up. One of my very good expat friends, John Galt, who came down to one of my very first seminars, by the way, and now he's living down here in Central America, he's offered to be your personal Latin insider guide to one of the coolest destinations you'll ever see in your life, which is the Lake Atitlan region in Guatemala, considered by experts to be the most beautiful lake in the world. Yeah, I know, everybody thinks they've got their idea of the most beautiful lake in the world, but let me tell you, a while back I took a year off and traveled around the world. I actually went around the world twice with over 130 separate country stamps on my passport. So I'm no armchair quarterback. You could say I'm kind of in the position to advise people as to what's really, really cool and what ain't. Let me just mention that if you ever visit Lake Atitlan, and you can't just go there for one day, you got to spend 2 or 3 days there because there are 12 little towns around that lake, some of which can only be accessed by boat, which is an unforgettable experience in itself. You just have to see it to believe it. So, anyway, if you're planning on coming to my seminar, and those of you who've signed up already, if you can, try to get 3 or 4 extra days before the seminar or after it so you can tag along on that unforgettable tour of the lake region with the one and only John Galt. I promise you'll be talking about that trip the rest of your life. So, you might be asking, who is John Galt? Well, you'll certainly find out if you take that tour with him. Now, speaking of that lake region, I don't know if you know this, but I put together a special report just on those cities around that lake, and also a report on my own personal take of Antigua, Guatemala, a city that we'll spend 3 days in during our seminar. So, if you want a free copy of those reports, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll ship it off to you. Of course, everyone who signs up for the seminar gets a free copy of those reports, too. So, if they're planning on doing any side trips, they're clued in as to what I recommend you see and do. So shoot me an email and I'll send you those 2 reports. And don't forget, you got 2 days to sign up for the early bird special on my seminar. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com. Click on Johnny's 2016 Latin America seminar link. That's in the top middle of the page. And you'll get all the sign-up information. Oh, and by the way, when you do sign up, I'll be sending you 6 separate seminar messages, each about 2 weeks apart. And these messages were put together to answer any questions you might have about the trip and to give you various tips on packing and money exchange and ATMs, etc. Those 6 seminar messages you'll receive are just loaded with information to prepare you for the trip. So it's not as if you just sign up for the seminar, book a flight and come down, land at the airport, hit your hotel and you're on your own. You know, most of those big Latin retirement seminars, international living seminars, even Doug Casey's seminars are a lot like that. I mean, you land at the hotel and you've got your itinerary and you kind of float from room to room and listen to whatever speaker is on the agenda. With my seminar, it's not like that at all. From the day you sign up, we hold your hand all the way. We get you started while you're up in the States, weeks before you get down here. Even seminar attendees who've never been out of the U.S. before report how well they were taken care of and how easy the whole thing was. No stress, no worries, no apprehension. We take care of you all the way. And we'll have at least 5 100% bilingual translators hanging with us the whole time, so even though we'll be well off the Gringo Tourist Trail and most people won't speak English, our translators will be there at all times to assist. Enough said about that. Okay, here's a little news that I'm sure you never get up in the first world. Now, I mentioned before, most Latin countries, especially Central American countries in Mexico, would not be able to survive if the illegal immigrant family members up in the States weren't sending back vast amounts of dough every month, called remisas, remember? And of course, the baffling part to me and all the long-term expats I talk to is, how can it be that every year those remisas are on the increase? They never go down. They always go up, sometimes by double digits over the previous year. So why is it that illegals up in the States year over year can send more money back? Obviously, more of them are working and getting jobs. Meanwhile, the average American citizen's salary and earning power continue to drop month over month, year over year, with real unemployment figures up in the States around 20 to 23%. I mean, ask any one of your neighbors. Who doesn't know the job picture is bleak? That said, there's a little bit of news out of El Salvador today. Now, here's a new twist on the remisa game, and it is a game. It says, as you'd expect, remisas coming from the States are way up. In fact, the September 2015 remisa numbers are in, and according to Salvador bank statistics, $348 million came in September, up 4.5% over September 2014 figures. Remember, El Salvador is a small country with only 6 million people. And with $350 million a month coming in from remisas, wow, that's real dough. So then you might ask, how does that cash money get from the States down to El Salvador? Because it is all cash money, you know. It always starts out that way with illegals. It's cash in the hand. No U.S. employer wants to write a check because, well, that would be a record of paying someone off the books, right? According to this article, it says 50% of all the remisas went as bank deposits from the U.S. down to Latin banks. Now, 42% of the dough transferred came through agencies like Western Union. And here's the surprise. From 1 to 5% of all the remisas transferred are being done in a completely new way. By the way, on this, they say it's very difficult to get an exact number because it's quite anonymous. So there's a new remisa transfer method that's just popped up this year. Before that, it never existed. Turns out now, in thousands of different telephone agencies up in the States, you know, those little kiosks and hole-in-the-wall cell phone repair joints, they sell repair phones, unblock them, and they sell those cheap prepaid throwaway ones too. There are a lot of places like that in the States, especially in the low-income ghettos. Well, these thousands of little kiosks are now providing a remisa service. Now, they're not exactly transferring money, but what you can do now is go to one of these kiosks, fork over some cash dough, and actually charge up the telephone of your relatives wherever they might be. That includes most any country in Latin America and some countries in the Caribbean, too. Like, for example, Mexico, Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, Chile, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Jamaica, Panama, Peru, and a lot more. Whew. Then you might ask, well, how can they charge up those phones from the U.S.? Well, that's because, for one, the biggest cellular telephone company in all of Latin America is called Claro, owned by Carlos Slim of Mexico. And it serves cell phone users in all the aforementioned countries and more. So you just go into one of those little kiosks, give them the phone number of your friends and relatives in whatever country, and the cell company will instantly charge up that phone number with the appropriate cash amount in minutes, which makes the whole process anonymous and completely off the books. The cell company never asks who's charging up the phone, who's paying for those minutes. They just take the money and charge the minutes to the number you provide, no matter what country it happens to be in. So, in Latin America, phone minutes are just as good as hard cash. Plus, believe it or not, you can transfer your minutes to another person's phone, so it's pretty much like Bitcoin. So you can see why they don't have accurate numbers on just how much money's being transferred in minutes. Oh, and by the way, if you want to send remisas down by way of recharging a phone down in Latin America, there's an internet site in Spanish and English where you can recharge your phone anonymously, if you do it the way most illegals do it up in the States. Here's the exact site. It's called claro.mobilerecharge.com. And you could charge up and top off any Claro phone in that network of 20-something countries. And you pay with any debit or credit card. So illegals up in the States can get a friend or relative to do it up there for them. Or, easier yet, You can get a rechargeable, reloadable, prepaid credit card at places like Sears and Walgreens and 7-Elevens. There are dozens and dozens of places that are doing that now. So as far as sending Remesa money down to families in Latin America, new and anonymous ways of doing it are popping up all the time. Oh, and as far as those prepaid debit cards, a lot of Latins are actually sending them in the mail down to their friends and family down in Latin America. And I guess most of them get through, or they wouldn't be doing it. By the way, the common maximum balance on some of these cards is $2,500. Meaning if you're coming down to Latin America to get your boots on the ground, having a card like that would be a nice anonymous way to go trekking through Latin America now, wouldn't it? A lot of possibilities there, huh? Oh, and by the way, you probably didn't know this, but at all my Latin Insider seminars, I give every attendee one of those free prepaid phones with usually about 100 minutes already charged in them. Yep, it's theirs to keep. And generally, surprise, surprise, it's a Claro phone because, well, that means you can use it in almost every other Latin country if you take a trip or you're traveling around. So in this case, we have the seminar in Guatemala, so you get a Guatemalan phone number. And if you want to go to Panama, Honduras, Belize, Costa Rica, whatever, and use that same phone, you just bring it along. You go to one of the Claro kiosks in that country, buy a SIM card for about $4, and now you got a new telephone number to use in that country, and they give you usually 100 free minutes, too. Oh, and by the way, you can use those minutes to call back to the States, too. Usually, it's about 10 to 15 cents a minute. However, they run specials, and right now, Tigo's got one for $1.50. You can talk for an hour to anyone back in the States. So that is, you know, one way to call back to the States totally anonymously, unlike smartphones and Skype. But here's the kicker. If you don't recharge that phone with minutes about every 3 months, the SIM card dies and you can't use it again. So if you, for example, come down to one of my seminars and you bring that phone back with you up in the States, where it definitely will not work, it'll only work in the country you bought it. Nope, no roaming with prepaid phones. Sorry. But again, if you want to keep that SIM card active, like I said, you got to recharge it at least every 3 months. So you can go on that online Claro recharging service that I told you about a little while ago. And to keep it active, recharge it with the smallest dollar amount. I think it's $5. So every 3 months, if you're up in the States, you can go to that website and drop $5 into your phone. Then if and when you come back down to Latin America, you can bring that same phone and have the same phone number you had before and it'll be active. Oh, and by the way, that doesn't just go for the Claro phone number. Another huge phone company is called Tigo. They're the company I mentioned that's running that deal $1.50 for 60 minutes to the U.S. And there's one called Movistar and a few others too. And most of those cell companies are international, so they have presence in most Latin countries. So what's the difference between those companies? Well, not a lot except for the specials they offer when you recharge your phone with minutes. So when you get down to Latin America, which company should you choose? Well, just ask around. Ask the locals and the people in the telephone kiosk, and your lawyer, of course. Ask which companies have the better coverage and the better plans. There is a lot of competition between companies, so they change their plans and their deals all the time. Now, in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Panama, for example, most middle-class and upper-middle-class and wealthy people use Claro. It seems to have the best coverage and the best deals, especially for business people. Now, the poor and the lower middle classes and some of the middle class prefer a company called Movistar or Tigo because when you charge up your phone with minutes, they never have an expiration date. Whereas in some Latin countries, Claro has an expiration date on their minutes. For example, if you charge up a Claro phone with, let's say, $10 worth of minutes, in a month's time, if you don't use them, those minutes will just disappear. However, with a Tigo phone, they'll never disappear. So then how are you going to know all that? Well, like I said, you have to ask around when you get down. And by the way, for those of you coming down to my seminar, you will get a package of 29 special reports that I've prepared. And one of those reports is a 10-page detailed analysis of all the phone companies doing business down here and all the best plans and deals and coverage, etc. So note, when you come down here to the seminar, we leave no stone unturned. We make sure you're on the fast track to becoming an expat, and we give you a couple of really good shoves in the right direction. Which is why everyone says you get a 2 to 5 year running head start on becoming an expat just by coming to my seminar. We really give it to you with the fire hose, so just a little heads up there. Oh, and by the way, speaking of news, I'm looking at the recent Sunday edition of a Panama newspaper, and there's an ad in there from a German company called Trimble. It's in Spanish, of course. Have you ever heard of them? I haven't. But get this, they're the authorized distributor of high-tech third-generation drones. Yes, you heard me, drones. And not the hobby store drones either. So what's that all about? Well, just recently, and I mean very recently, this company's been putting ads in all the big Latin American newspapers offering, and let me translate here, our newest drone of the third generation, the Trimble UX5HP, a highly precise German-designed drone used worldwide for high-precision photometrics, topographic surveys, digital modeling of terrain, and general surveillance and security. So this is another first in Latin America, offering sophisticated drones to the public, who, of course, can't afford them. But it does say in this article that they offer financing and leasing of these drones. Cool, huh? Hey, let's go out and lease a drone and see what the U.S. Embassy is up to. But I digress. Now, I know that sounds scary, but even though they've got authorized drone representatives down here in Latin America now, who'd have thunk, huh? I don't think we have to worry about drone strikes as envisioned by Mr. O'Vomit. Down here, I'm willing to bet about 99% of the time, if drones are used at all, it's for topography, mining, farming, innocuous things like that. And note, even if Latin governments get their hands on these things, and of course you can count on them being donated by the U.S. in the failed drug war. That said, no matter how many drones the U.S. government sends down, just remember one very, very important thing about the Latin culture. The word maintenance is not in their vocabulary. Oh, sure, first world franchises down here do maintenance, but Latin companies, forget about it. For example, one private hospital administrator in a very first world hospital down here told me, yes, they have all the latest cutting-edge first world medical equipment, like General Electric, PET, tomograph, and CAT scanners, etc. Everything in high-end private hospitals down here is all digital now. And the maintenance? Well, he says, when they buy those machines, they always buy the maintenance contract. So, those are first world people coming down doing maintenance on those things. And that's why Latin first world style hospitals remain first world in quality. However, when you're talking about Latin governments buying drones, or really anything high tech or even medium high tech, for that matter, even plain old low tech cars and vehicles. Well, if you remember in a past show, probably 250 shows ago now, I mentioned the example of the Costa Rican Transit Cop Division. Some stupid do-gooder first world country with a black Irish president named O'Vomit. Sounds Irish, right? Though I could be wrong. No one's ever seen the birth certificate. But I digress, as usual. Anyway, the idiot bureaucrats in this country donated dozens, if not hundreds, of high-tech breathalyzer machines to the Costa Rican Transit Cops. And they all went into the field right away, though after 6 months, not a single one of them was in service anymore. And quite a few of them went missing. Get the point? Bottom line, first world equipment with no first world maintenance contract? That's a sure recipe for disaster. But where were we? Oh yeah. Looking further through this Panama Sunday newspaper and a few other Latin American Sunday newspapers, today I see something else I've never seen before. It's a product recall. Wow, that's one for the books. So here we have a third of a page ad coming from none other than Costco here in Latin America. It's a product recall of a certain sparkling cider, Martinelli's Gold Medal. And it gives the lot number and the expiration date. So then, why is it getting recalled? Well, it says, there's a possibility that shards of glass got mixed in with the sparkling cider. Ooh, not good. And if you have any of these bottles at home, come into Costco in the members area and we will reimburse you the full value of the product. Now, of course, you see these things all the time up in the States, but down here, this is very unusual. In fact, I guarantee you that 95% of the people who go to Costco and have a membership card will not read this ad because people down here who get the paper only read the front page, the sports page, and the all-important entertainment section. Of course, to keep up with the ever-changing gluteal and sex organ permutations of the Kardashian family. But where was I? Oh, yeah. Anyway, this is the first recall I've ever seen. And remember, Costco is a first-world company, so if there ever was going to be a recall notice down here, it would come from a first-world company. So is that bad? Is that a reason not to come to Latin America? No. It really is a pretty good wake-up call to first-world people who should be taking charge of their own lives. So, in the end, buyer beware is not a bad phrase. It just means you should be taking more responsibility for your own actions. Which means if you love being coddled by the nanny state, then I guess Latin America isn't for you. Down here, you're totally responsible for your own actions. What an amazing concept, huh? Meaning if you do something stupid, there's no one to sue. That means even if you slip on a rock or fall in a pothole in a Walmart parking lot, unlike in the States, you will not win the lottery. In fact, you probably won't even be able to get a lawyer to take your case. And if you do get to court, the judge is liable to laugh in your face. He'll say, "Gringo, you got two eyes. Use them." So again, if you were brought up in the States and you know and love the welfare state, well, Latin America is not for you. Which brings me to this very interesting but cool email I just received. Starts out, "Hello, Johnny. My name is Daryl. I'm 36 years old, married, and have two young, beautiful daughters. Hey there, we're Canadians living in Montreal, Quebec. I just want to say that I've discovered your radio show / podcast about 5 months ago and finally caught up to date last Friday. Johnny, you've filled my daily travels from one FedEx location to another with pure joy and a wealth of information. Since I was a young child, I always had visions of myself traveling abroad and seeing other countries. As I grew older into my teen years, I started believing that one day I would pack up and leave Canada and move to guess where? The USA. I always had the American dream in the back of my mind. However, getting older and starting to understand politics a little more, and after a few years of working and really just starting to grasp what life is all about, my views on the U.S. and North America started to change. The so-called life living here in the fast-paced society where everything is based on performance and stats has already taken a toll on me from my young age. No, I'm not saying I'm lazy. In contrary, I'm rather active and have held some fantastic careers until my burnout a few years back. There are actually many other factors that drove me simply nuts about living here. Some usual things like the cold winters and cost of living, lack of family culture and making your career a priority over your family. Some other issues that are a lot touchier too, like the language flaws, French for example, but I won't get into that. Anyway, in 2002, I was supposed to do my first move. Like a big boy, me and my best friend planned to move to the U.S. West Coast, and we were so psyched about it. And finally, when the time came, he had left 1 week before me to find a place, and I was to join him the following week. Well, during that week, I met my wife. So as luck and fate would have it, I never did leave. Now, just a few years ago, I started to share my vision of leaving Canada with my wife. I wouldn't say she is completely all for it yet, but she does like the sound of it. Any woman, in my opinion, keeps her man grounded, and nothing happens without a plan. So I'm okay with that, and I respect her viewpoint, but I am more daring than she is. In all honesty, my heart has left this country, Canada, many years ago. I despise it here, Johnny. I'm more miserable than anything else. How is it possible that so many young people do just pack up and leave, or just sell everything one day and go? How does a normal working guy like me, living paycheck to paycheck, say good riddance once and for all to this forsaken turd hole of a place? Johnny, the thing is, I just do not want to work till I'm 67, retire, get cancer, and croak here in Canada. If that happens, I assure you, I'll never rest in peace. So, to bring this long story to an end, because I really can go on for hours, I'm nowhere close to my retirement, nor do I have tons of money hanging around. However, thanks to informative podcasts and websites, I know what some of the requirements are to receive residency in a majority of Latin countries now. So as for me and everyone else in my spot, all I can say is save, 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 or win the frickin' lottery. Thanks for that, Daryl. Nice, thoughtful email. Couple of comments from me, of course. One is, down here I run into Canadians all the time. And now, many of them are a lot different than the Canadians I used to meet 10 or 15 years ago. Back then, they were always happy snowbirds, just loving it in the sun and fun, but always ready to go back to the Great White North, to their real life back home, skiing and hitting a few hockey pucks. Back then, I almost never met a Canadian who was down here permanently. However, these days I've been meeting a type of Canadian I never encountered before. Pissed off Canadians, Canadians that hate their government, Canadians have been ripped off by the tax system, Canadians who talk about the stiff, heavy hand of Big Brother up there. In fact, these are Canadians who do not fit that usual, hey there, happy-go-lucky Bob and Doug McKenzie stereotype. These are smart, thoughtful guys and gals who are voting with their feet. They're getting out. Quite a change from the old days, I can tell you that. And you're absolutely right about another thing, Daryl. If the wife's not on board, it's not going to work. I'm talking about coming down to Latin America and becoming an expat. Now, I'm not saying she has to be on board hook, line, and sinker 100%. If she's neutral about it or even just a little bit positive, then it certainly can work out. However, if she's putting up resistance from the start, well, that's not a good sign. You know, there's an old Chicago saying, and I'm sure it's true throughout the world. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. I'm sure y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, another thing Daryl suggests is to keep on saving and saving and saving or win the lottery. The object being, of course, is to move your ass and your assets down to Latin America and get started on a residency. But again, I always hear people talking about money as the roadblock, but it's not really true. Remember, you can come down here and instantly get a teaching job at a helicopter school or work at a call center. Sure, you'll only make $500 to maybe $800 a month, but that's twice, even three times the minimum wage. So suppose you've only got $5 or $10 grand when you come down. Take a teaching or a call center job for a while then. I'll tell you, if within 6 months you haven't thought of a half dozen really good low-budget business ideas, maybe that old blues song is really true and you were born under a bad sign. You remember that line, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all? Well, unfortunately, we all know people like that now, don't we? Now, I don't care if you're the most average American there is. When you come down here, you instantly have so much going for you, not to mention the gringo advantage, especially when you're off the gringo tourist trail. Now, over the years, I've known a lot of fuzzy-brained, mediocre gringos. In fact, one such guy, a German, came down some 15 or 20 years ago as a backpacker, opened up a little crap hole Italian restaurant in a very kind of tacky district, too. A lot of traffic, though. I mean, come on, imagine that. A German guy owning an Italian restaurant. Anyway, 15 years later, the guy's got his own brand new Porsche, and he flies his own airplane. Now, I know, he's an idiot for buying the Porsche, but remember, he's a German far away from home, and he wanted a nice piece of German engineering, and he got it, a Porsche. Now, he can barely drive the thing around because of all those speed bumps. Never mind that his teenage kid wrecked it twice already. Yes, my very successful German friend is kind of soft in the head. Now, believe me when I tell you, he's a very nice guy, but he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And now he's got 25 restaurants. He came down as a backpacker years ago with only $7 grand to his name. And get this, no cooking skills. Yep, and he's not ashamed to admit it.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me, just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.